Hey everybody, and welcome to the EV Cafe Takeaway, a podcast focused on the zero emission future that we all hope for. Every week I'm joined by one of the wonderful members of the EV Cafe crew, and this week, well, as an exception, I've got John.
Hello. Thanks for that. Great introduction.
Oh, well, you know, as always, right? No, the wonderful John Curtis, who is always a delight to share these podcasts with. And even better than that, we get to join an innovator, a pioneer, and a collaborator from our industry. And this week, we have Jasmine Bishop. Welcome, Jasmine.
Hello. Thanks for having me.
Hey, it is absolutely our pleasure. Now, we stumbled across Jasmine. First of all, I think it was at the ITT Hub, didn't we? We met and we, with your day job, your Equip Make, I think is the company that puts motors and batteries and everything like that into coaches. What a fantastic thing. Some exciting stories, which I'm sure we'll uncover today. But then, you know, as we bumped into each other a couple more times, then we discovered that actually we need this lady to come on to our podcast and have a good chat with. So, Jasmine, really very welcome here today, and we look forward to getting to know you better. So with that in mind, how on earth did you come up with Little Miss High Heels for your Instagram?
That is actually, there is a story behind this.
I bet there is actually, because
number one, I just need to show you, this is unusual. I don't know if you can see that. I would normally have steel toe caps on. I would normally have my heels on.
For those not able to watch, we just got steel toe capped PPE or personal protective equipment displayed on screen. There we go.
And that is a rare sighting, because honestly, I'm not seen out of heels normally.
I suspect there will be people now wanting to find you on Instagram and on YouTube.
So what is the story behind Little Miss High Heels?
So believe it or not, when I was in sixth form, I actually missed an award ceremony. I didn't think I would be put up for an award, so I didn't bother to go. And I missed out on being awarded the like joke award, which was Little Miss High Heels by the head of the school.
Ah, okay. So you wore high heels in school as well?
It's sixth form, yeah. Yeah.
Ah. And for reference, everybody, Jasmine is not short. So she doesn't need these high heels particularly. But anyway, that's great. So, well, that's a good place to start. So, I mean, you know, school often is a place where we begin to kind of formulate our ideas. How was school for you? What was life like? How did Jasmine get formed in that cauldron that we call school?
So that's an interesting, nobody's asked me about school actually for a long time. So digging back in, essentially, I don't live too far from where I actually went to school, believe it or not. I haven't moved very far. I did try and leave. But anyway, basically, went to school and sixth form in Norwich. My entire education has actually been with my brother. So he's a year younger than me, and he even followed me to university. So I honestly tried to leave Norfolk. I wanted to be one of those people that escaped. So I went to Newcastle for university and studied fashion marketing. And that was honestly one of the best times in my life, really. I met a lot of really good people. And ultimately, it was just a really big party, to be quite honest. But then you still had to do work. So, but yeah, it was that blend of the party and working that I really enjoyed. So that definitely formed me. I became extremely independent at that point. And sort of that was the first time I lived on my own. And like, yeah, kind of that's what sort of started me off. And then I tried to get a job in London. And that didn't actually quite work out. So I ended up moving back to Norfolk. And ended up, believe it or not, my first job out of university was Santa's Little Helper. I bet you didn't find that, did you?
In your own backlog of research. I wasn't on your CV.
But I'm quite proud of that, because that sort of set me off on the journey, and the wheel just kept turning. So I got a job at Apple as a result of working in the shopping centre as Santa's Little Helper. And I met some interesting people there that then, when they left, they asked me if I wanted to join them. They went to an office called GMG, and it's a sort of printing company where they make printing software. and I was selling paper for a couple of years. I know it's random, but once you
wrapping
learn,
paper.
No, printing paper, like I wish I was selling. I love Christmas, to be honest. So if I was selling wrapping paper, yeah. but yeah, so I think once you can cold call and sell paper over the phone, that's it. You're set for life in a sales role.
That was kind of the interesting thing, because I saw as we read through your profile, particularly on LinkedIn, and we see a very ambitious, driven, goal-orientated, target-orientated person. But I mean, there's some interesting creative streaks that run through all of that, which we might touch on in a bit. But what is it that kind of created that competitive, you know, that real kind of ambitious individual that we see through that? And, you know, like target-oriented, cold calling, that's, I mean, not everybody's favorite thing to do, right? So talk me through that.
No, but once you get the hang of it, it's easy, and then it kind of sets you up for life, because then you can honestly talk to anyone. Because once you've overcome phoning up and speaking to somebody that doesn't want to talk to you, then either made them hang up because they got or stay on and ring you back, then yeah, you're set up for life. So the driven, it's just always been in me, that drive. I can't really explain it because other people have asked me to explain it. The only thing I just clearly I really remember this, and it is bus related actually, so doing a bit of a full circle here, is that on my 12th birthday, my parents said, you can go out on your own. And I literally ran out the door as soon as I got dressed. I was like, right, that's it, I'm off, see you. And believe it or not, went and bought a ticket to get on a first bus. That's the local bus company. And that was actually who I got. That was the first deal when I was working at Quickmake, was with First Bus. So for me, that was a big full circle moment. So I've always been really independent, and I just want to achieve something and make a difference in the world. So that's sort of my core value.
And you've said that you can't explain that, and I'm conscious. John will come in with a killer question in a minute, because he has those. But I mean, think back. What is it that makes you want to make a difference?
So, sort of. I think it's just wanting to I'm inspired by small things, and then it's almost, you know, seeing other people and wanting to inspire them as well. And I know that sounds cheesy, but it's true. And then. I think this also came from, I wasn't necessarily going to get straight into this, but I've actually had some resistance in my journey. So when in the process of trying to get a job in London, I probably went to about 10 interviews and was rejected from all of them. But wow. One was like catastrophically bad. So I turned up to the interview, and I'd got, my mum had actually lent me this like office smart dress to wear, and I thought I looked really good, and I was really confident, and I was going in with my portfolio and all my designs, and I walked in, and there's this, she's this woman's in the room, she's not even looking at me, she's looking out the window, and she's like, she turns around, she goes, do you remember me? And I was thinking, no I don't, like, what's this about? And so I was like, no, forgive me, no, I know that I'm here to meet you, you're the owner of the business. And she's like, I've interviewed you before, you intimidate me. And I'm a 50-year-old woman, and I'm not often intimidated. And back then, I was, 22 years old? So also, I'm a bit concerned. I'm at this point like, what? How on earth have I intimidated this woman that I was looking up to ahead of even going to the interview? I was thinking, she's built this business from nothing. Like, I really want to work here. Don't really understand what's happening. And basically what happened is, when I was at university, I went to an interview to try and get an internship, and I'd met her, and I'd gone in the highest heels. Because believe it or not, I thought that would impress her, being in fashion. I was like, oh, you know, I've got these really cool shoes. But she was sat there in a pair of jeans and Converse, and obviously for some reason didn't like the fact that I'd worn these high heels. But she literally admitted that she'd got me to come to that interview just to tell me how much I'd intimidated her, and that she wasn't going to give me the job, but that she wished me well. And she said, whatever you end up doing, you're going to do really well because of your drive. So basically that whole thing kind of shook me, and I thought, wow, like, I want to get to a position where potentially I can inspire other people and not behave like that, you know. Yeah. The complete opposite. So
wow, I mean, so that's stunning.
Let's work back from where you are then. So we've heard there's a little bit about university. What did you study at university?
Fashion marketing.
Fashion marketing, right. Okay, so you went into fashion, And then you end up working for Equipmake, who you've mentioned, and they rework buses. Can you explain what Equipmake do first?
Yes. So Equipmake is a UK manufacturer of complete electric drivetrains. That can be for bus, whether it's repowering or new, as well as coach. We also have projects with fire trucks, which is pretty cool, and aerospace and high-speed automotive. So any vehicle that can be electrified, we can do it.
How do you make the transition from high fashion London to reworking heavy vehicles to work with electric drivetrains?
So there is actually some things in common. So the sort of where I was going with my cold calling sales. So I have that sales element. I think once you're a salesperson, you can literally sell anything. So there's that. I've got the marketing that I was taught from my degree that I've sort of carried on in the background. And then the third thing really is that I was in the right place at the right time. I met my boss actually through my husband. So my husband, James, works for Equipmake as well. And I met Ian through James. And basically it started off where he wanted me to do a bit of social media, like freelance work. Because I've always done that, it's sort of in my background with my main jobs, and then had a bit of freelance on the side. So I did that for Equipmake for a bit. And then one day Ian asked me to come in and I just wasn't ready for it. He hit the desk and said, like, what have I got to do? I want you to work here. So he offered me a job and I haven't really looked back since. And I absolutely love the industry and the sort of challenge that comes with engineering and the transition that we're seeing at the minute with this sort of the diesel to zero emission movement.
How do you get on with chauvinism? Because we see this a lot in our industry, sadly, still, and we call it out every time we see it. It's a big issue for us that it's hard to be anybody in this space. And, you know, we've seen Volta, we've seen Arrival, we've seen the difficulties that organizations have. Doesn't matter who's running it and what they're doing. But you add into that the historical challenges that we've had with recognizing equality in genders. Have you found that difficult, or are you the sort of person who just bulldozes through and it doesn't really bother you that much? You just make it happen anyway?
I will just make it happen, yeah, because I will almost try even harder. So,
Kelsey Breeze. But
I would like to say it has actually got better, but it's still there. It's still prevalent. I mean, I went to the Bus World show in Brussels, and they do still have people there that are hired onto the show, like women that... Mm. aren't from the companies, and they're there to greet people and sign them up for meetings. The only issue with that I have is that when no one bothers to read my name tag or ask me what I do or if I work for Equipmake, they just assume that I'm there to book meetings as well. And that happened. Mm-hmm. That happened. Or they're like, I want to speak to someone technical. Okay. What's your question? No, I need to speak to someone technical. Okay, why don't you just try me? And if I don't know, then I'll take you to one of the engineers. But right now you've got me, so come on, let's go. Let's see, test me. Like, so I'll try and have a bit of fun with it and spin it back, because I think sometimes it's just a genuine mistake. Like if you're used to seeing a woman standing at the front of the stand, which I'm there because I'm keen to get the sale anyway, that it's just a misunderstanding. But then if it goes further than that, I learn when to sort of pass them over to my male colleague and they can deal with it.
Does that irritate you though?
It depends. I just think it's an oversight. So really, they're the ones missing out.
You're too kind.
definitely kind. I would say, though, I mean, you know, almost do you want to work with somebody that can't see your value staring them in the face? You know, it's like, come on, you know, why? I suppose, like, John and I typically will be out in the big wide world kind of as self-employed people, in many respects, or, you know, own business, we get to choose, right? Sometimes you just kind of think, I don't want to work with you. I don't care whether you've got money or you're just not a very nice person, and I don't really value you or your business. So move along. I know you can't always do that in Equipmake, and you're not going to admit it on here for sure. But, you know, it's like, okay, go and talk to my male colleague. I wish you all the best. Ha ha. But Talk me through, because you've done a lot of things, and it's interesting you mentioned about the the social media stuff that you've done on the side, because I noticed also that you've been a fashion blogger. I loved that journey from Newcastle to Harrods, and shoes came up again in that sort of process. But so talk me through, like, why have you got this side hustle always going on, it seems? And, you know, the fashion, yeah, that sort of thing.
That's a really great question. So day to day, I sort of see, you know, Quickmakes, you know, that what I have, well, I enjoy doing it, but I can't, you know, you have to do it to pay your bills, pay, you know, I've got a mortgage, but then there's always more, like you guys will relate to this. There's other parts of you, you know, that you want to do and you want to explore. So yeah, the fashion blogging, I genuinely love creative writing. I always have done. So the prospect of sort of doing that and then getting paid to do it on the side has always been something that I sort of lent towards, and just kind of done that as well. Believe it or not, I don't know how far you've dug, but I was trying to set up a business making post-surgery lingerie. So I have actually got all these industrial sewing machines. So
that would be bustier.
That's right. Yeah. So you have found it.
Yes. Well, there's a second one which we can come on to as well if you want. But yeah. So what? Talk us through that business that you created.
So really, that is something that's quite close to my heart, in that I realized, having made these initially, the bras were made for doing sport. And then through my auntie, I was introduced to someone she worked with that was the same age as me, but had breast cancer and was struggling to find like a bra that she liked and felt confident in. So basically, long story short, they were like, do you think you could kind of change what you've done a little bit and adapt it to fit with somebody that's just come out of having a mastectomy? So I spent probably a year, maybe to 18 months redesigning it to fit like round what's required. So basically when you've had surgery, you don't want to have to pull something off over the top. So it was basically having a zip down the front so you could just take it off and slip it out, things like that. And then putting these pockets in so that you could have basically an implant pop there to sort of give the confidence back and go out as a, and just carry on your life. So, but I tried to make it fun in that the pockets had prints on, and that sort of related back to the first collection was called Release the Puppies. And then I did a whole photo shoot with a cute dog, and the pockets were Dalmatian print. So, but I mean, I got to meet these fantastic women when I was doing this through a charity called Copperfield, and I'm still really close with, no, I know, right? But it gets your attention.
Oh, I thought you said Copperfield, not Copperfield. Right, yes.
Copperfield, yes. Yes.
Well, whole different image. Mm, yes.
You know, when I woke up this morning, I didn't imagine today going this way.
But isn't it fantastic that you you've built that, and that still has some, well, I mean, some people obviously still had some benefit for you. Is there, you know, obviously Quickmakes aside and, you know, all that, is there chance that might kind of revitalize? Is there still opportunities there?
There is. In fact, I am still contacted because of how intense my job is in Quickmakes and how much I have to travel. It has taken a slight sidestep, but I am still contacted and said, like, oh, would you make me a bra? Would you do this? So very much, definitely something I would want to revitalize and spend more time on when the opportunity arises. So yeah, absolutely. Or something else. I can ultimately see myself having my own business or doing, you know, doing more.
Well, because you also have another business called Home at Last.
All right, you have done your digging. Right. So you know,
house,
I said,
God, I love it.
All right, yeah, but I mean, at the moment, that's taken a pause. So you know how much? Well, I said at the start, I was Santa's little helper, and I really like Christmas. So just before, when was this? Maybe 2018. I basically, another side hustle, decided to buy and sell Christmas decorations on eBay, and I actually made $4,000 in 2 months. Like, honest. But then COVID hit and everyone realised actually how easy it is. And then I went from making £5 on a bauble to 50p, and it just wasn't worth the fuel that it was the electric to get me to the post office.
You're a serial entrepreneur then. Yeah, I mean, somebody who you just never sit still. What is it that drives you to continually create these things and do other stuff? How is that something that's always been there in you?
I think it must have, but nobody's ever really highlighted it before. So, yeah, I guess I just, I actually enjoy it. So, yeah, I almost see it as like, it's not just to make money. It's actually enjoyable. And like, if you sell a Christmas decoration to someone, some of the notes they would send me to say like how much they liked it or it like made their Christmas tree, you know, that's those little things. And it's the same with Bustier as well. Like genuinely seeing someone feel confident in themselves in something you've designed and made and actually created and got to them is, yeah, there's nothing else like it.
And do you inspire others to do this? I mean, quite clearly, I've spoken to you before on stage and left the previous interview thinking, wow, there's a force of nature.
Yeah.
Do a lot of people get that feel from you that you are somebody who you can change people, you can change the way lives are? Do you get that sense that you are that influential?
That is so complimentary. Thank you. Like, I mean, that's how, if that's how I'm coming across, that's fantastic. Yeah. Then I'm checking a massive box. That's how I would like to be perceived. So yeah. And that's definitely right. So thank you for that.
But I think it is really clear. And I think from the first time we met you, you know, it, and credit to Equipmake, you know, for giving you this opportunity and you know, to kind of give yourself an elevation into our world. And we're very grateful for it because, you know, you're definitely doing some amazing stuff. And we've talked on what seems like a seamless and easy journey, you know, a journey that sort of began, you know, 12 years old, da, 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 just kind of, you know, jumped on a bus and charged off into the distance, you know, that, you know, the first bus. And now we're on a number, bus number, whatever it might be. But life doesn't always go straightforward. There are times in life where you've got to dig really deep that, you know, it's a challenge. You're not even sure how to deal with a situation or, you know, emotionally kind of can really challenge you. Can you recall a time where you've been absolutely up against the wall and how did that make you feel and how did you get through that? Because you're still a very positive person, so it didn't beat you, whatever it was.
No, exactly. So, well, if anything, I think it's made me stronger. So there is something that's quite fitting about everything we've just talked about. I had no idea we were actually going to get onto the whole Bustier thing. So I actually rented a room above an estate agency in Norwich. There's an incredible woman called Lucy, and she owned an estate agency called Reality. And she's actually died from breast cancer in the last few months. And I mean, it was just, it's just been a really hard time. And, but she was like up and throughout her whole battle, she was so full of life. She did so many things. She's ticked off so many things on her bucket list. And she also helped me get the house I currently live in. So I actually, you know, it's nice to know that she was there. But then recently, when I was at Busworld, I actually got some news that her husband had killed himself, and I wasn't ready to get this news. And literally I was looking at this text message that my mum had sent me and I was standing in the middle of the show stand. And literally as soon as I got that news, someone came up to me and there's no one else on the stand. So like from Equipmake. So it was like, shit, just got this news. And sorry to swear. I was like, I can't cry. I can't scream. I can't do anything. I've just got to remain professional, get through this. And guess what? The guy was really chauvinist. It's just like, you've got to laugh. You've got to laugh at this. Like, so basically, I think that's the most recent example of just being really strong and compartmentalizing and just not managing your emotions so you can be in the moment that you're in. Park that and come back to it later. And then, but it was hard because then we immediately went out after the show and to a dinner. And it's just kind of like, I just really want to go and like have a bit of a cry really and come back. So things like that. Yeah. But at the end of the day, that made me actually, when I was coming back from Brussels, even just on the Eurostar, looking out the window, just thinking like how stunning like the landscape is. Simple things like that to me are really important. And I think that's just sort of resetting yourself and not worrying about stuff that maybe I was worrying about the week before when you hear news like that.
And how is it that you're able to process those sorts of things? Because, I mean, you know, with setting up Bustia and probably meeting people that are going through really difficult times, and you sound like a person that will connect with people quite easily, you know, just and build a reasonable relationship with those people. It must be tough, you know, with people in those sorts of scenarios and the scenario you've just outlined. And we understand mental health is a massive challenge for many people, but you seem to be able to manage it really quite well and in a very strong way. What is it that, how do you process that, and what's given you that strength?
So, well, the fundamentals, really. I have a fantastic husband and my parents, so I can always kind of, I've got those network of people supporting me. But when it comes down to just me, it's just, I think that relentless, that goes back to my drive, just thinking, you've got this, you can do it. Like, just keep going. Like, that's the key thing. Like, and in a way, it's a miracle that anyone's alive. If you actually think about how we're all conceived, like, and that two people had to meet and be in love for you to be born, like, what, you shouldn't take that for granted at any point. I thought, well, that's my philosophy.
Not quite in my case, but anyway, that's fine. It was a really good party, apparently. What can I say?
So, you know, that's,
We lost you there for a second, Jasmine. Oh,
I was saying, Jasmine, they must say, sorry, no, I won't repeat that.
Go on. We've got to hear it now.
Yeah.
I was just going to say they were in love for that moment. So, you know.
Yeah. Apparently it was a lovely moment. Yeah.
And we've been thanking our lucky stars ever since.
He says very reservedly.
Now, Jasmine, you've clearly done lots of things in your life. What are you most proud to have achieved? The one thing that when you come to reflect, you think, yeah, that was it. That was when I was at my best so far.
So I found that question. I was looking at that earlier and I was like, oh. I mean, I don't know if this is a proper answer, but I think even just, like, just where I've got to today, really, for me, it's been a collection of things that have sort of led to me just being, like, and living a full life. But if that's really what you're looking for. Otherwise, I could dig in. There was a time that was dreadful, and I thought, this is what, I now know people call it grit. But basically, I took for granted that I used to be really talented at running, and I didn't train for this race that I had. And a girl that I'd beaten maybe 10 years before, oh, she smashed me big time. Like, she lapped me. Like, it was one of the, it wasn't like a trail. It was, you had to run around a track something like 20 times. Anyway, basically, she multiply lapped me, and I was catastrophically last. But I was just like, I don't care. Even if I have to, like, roll over the finish line, I'm going to keep going. And, like, but at the end of it, I initially felt embarrassed. And then I've looked back on it and I'm like, no, that's it. You've got the grit. And the key thing is just keep going and you will succeed.
Because we see that every time the London Marathon runs, you know, you have those people who smash it and, you know, do it in 2 hours and whatever. And then you have those who come in at 7, 8, 9 hours. And later, and everybody's applauding and cheering because it is that grit and determination which people really respond to. Ordinary people who are just in awe of the things that you're capable of doing. You're quite remarkable.
Thank you. Thank you.
It's not always easy to take on the praise that John will often, because he zones in on lifting people up, and he's right to do so. It's not always easy to hear, is it?
No, I'm just, so, honestly, thank you.
No, it's good, and it's definitely worthy. So, Jasmine, in EquipMake, so tell us a little bit about what you're doing to make a difference in that space. You know, because you told me about a royal coach. I'd love to hear that story, because I can't quite remember it, but everybody else will now get to hear it as well. But also just the difference that you're making in EquipMake.
So I'll start with the coach story. So basically, I identified a new market. So we'd already developed a drivetrain for buses, and we've been quite successful in landing multiple projects with First Bus. The most recent one is with Big Bus Tours. We've also taken on projects with TfL and Newport in Wales. So these are all really exciting projects. But anyway, basically it was like, right, I want more, like, what else can we do? So it was kind of like, ah, coaches. There's only one electric coach today you can buy in the UK, which is from Yutong. They are bringing out another one that's a triaxle. So the initial one was double, and then it's going to be tri. So I thought, well, if you repowered a coach, what would that add that you can't get in a new one? And there's a couple of issues. So the Yutongs basically don't have enough luggage capacity in comparison to what today you could buy as a diesel. Whereas with a triaxle van haul coach, which is what we're doing for Westway, we could successfully remove the complete diesel drivetrain and replace it with our electric drivetrain plus five battery packs, which is 545 kilowatt hours of battery, which will get you a range between 180 to 220 miles, depending on exactly what you're doing, which is all David at Westway needs for the routes he's going to run, which are, this particular coach will go on private school routes, but they do also service the royal family. So they have a contract with the king. So, yeah, it's very cool.
did that coach get a particular outing at all recently? No. I'm thinking of the coronation.
Not that we were part of, but there would have been Westway coaches for that. Yes, definitely. Transporting ministers.
Fantastic. So so what you're doing is really it's influencing at the highest level, but also, you know, one of the most difficult areas. I heard Baroness Charlotte Veer speak about this in terms of to a coach conference back at the first ITT Hub, John, if you recall it. And she spoke that the coach industry is very challenged in this space. And you heard from all of the people on the stand, she was very clear that we're not going to accept any compromises here. We believe that it should go. We're not going to support e-fuels. We're not going to kind of do all of that kind of thing. We're going electric. We're going zero emission. And here you are proving that that's possible.
It is. Also, what's close to my heart being British is that it is British technology. So we're doing it, like 79% of the component content is made in the UK. I think that's pretty cool. And that's not necessarily that well known.
It's really important, supporting British business. We have a lot of innovation in this country, and which is why, you know, Arrival started here, although they went to America. The companies that we've referred to, Volta, built all their pre-production trucks here in Coventry. I say here in Coventry, here in the UK, but in Coventry up the road. So we know that it's UK innovation that is driving a lot of this transition. You know, companies like British Volt that came to the fore, and it's just, how can we help? What advice would you give as you look out across the landscape? I'm asking you to be Prime Minister now, to look, because it's evidently definitely possible. What advice would you give to companies that are forging a way in a difficult path right now? How do you see, what support do we need?
That's a tough one. So in regards to coach, there isn't a lot of support, to be quite honest. In fact, it's actually been ruled out along with repower in the most recent subsidy. And it's a bit of a shame because obviously these are other UK businesses that are being supported. But at the moment, the funding from the government for bus and coach is only for new vehicles and new buses. So it doesn't include coach, and they've specifically said it doesn't include repower. So I'm actually actively trying to lobby that decision because I think there's just a need for a bit more information.
Yeah.
And then it would be clear that
sustainability. I mean, that the frustration that I'm feeling right now, because if you take a diesel coach and you put a battery drivetrain into it, you're giving it another life.
Yeah,
and that surely has to be better than creating something from scratch, bringing it over from China when it's already here and we can just repurpose it. It makes no sense whatsoever.
No, it doesn't. But you do need both. And I think, but really, if you compare a brand new electric double-deck bus to a second life repowered one, you're actually saving 90 tons of CO2. in the embedded carbon just by reusing that chassis and that body. So really that embodies the whole sustainability message. And not only is it going to be a green vehicle, you've saved carbon in the process of converting it.
Yep.
And it is, so, it's challenging because of cost, I think, a lot of the time for companies to invest in new. Is there a significant advantage with going to a repurposed vehicle, or is it still quite a challenging cost leap?
So because the new vehicle's being subsidised, that's lowered the gap. If they weren't subsidised, it would complete, you know, that would be a fair playing field.
Yeah.
But where we do have something that you can't buy, so this goes back to what I was saying about the coach, really, it's identifying markets where you can't currently buy a new electric, or it's we configure it to exactly what that operator needs. So in relation to the Newport transport deal that we did, the buses that were repowering for school routes, and they only wanted a 90 mile range. So we've literally put two battery packs on that repower, which that gets the cost right down. Mm-hmm. So there's 218 kilowatt hours of battery on there. You can't buy a new one with that small mm-hmm. size battery. So they'd be overpaying, they'd have an overspecced vehicle. So it's those sort of areas, and a bit like tour mm-hmm. buses as well. They are like the perfect vehicles to repower because they're driven slowly, they're driven gently, and they're only used seasonally. So.
Yeah. Yeah, really good.
Jasmine, what's the future look like for you? So you have this endless enthusiasm, great intellect, real demonstration of having delivered some stuff. You can't stop at equip making and repowering buses. There's more to you than a bus. But where are you going to end up? What's your vision? Where do you want to be?
So I want to carry on in the zero emission industry because I just feel like I'm doing good just every day. And then again, I know this is cheesy, but it's true. Then I definitely want to reignite some of my side hustles. You two have definitely re-inspired me. And also me and my husband actually really want to build our own house. So that's probably the next.
Well, that's going to take up some of your time.
So that, yeah, just basically just continue to go for it.
Yeah, it's important.
It is important. And you know, as I look out at what you've achieved so far, which is quite a lot in a short space of time, the passion and the drive, the energy that's got you to this spot, you know, pun intended. And I love the business that you've built. It's clever. I thought it can't mean what it looks like it means, and it absolutely does, but for the right reasons, you know, for an incredibly meaningful reason. You know, we can all relate to losing people or knowing people that have struggled, are no longer struggling, you know, with breast cancer in particular. And it's one of those ones that has captured the imagination of a people, and you've been able to kind of bring something good for the people that are going through that. And that's incredible. I love the creative that runs through you. And I'm fairly confident that we will see much more from Jasmine Bishop as we go across the years. So it's been a real pleasure, John. I don't know if you've got any final thoughts, really.
I think I've spilled my guts enough. I think I have endless amounts of enthusiasm for Jasmine and people like Jasmine who don't know when to lay down, and they say, do you know what, I'm not going to stop, I'm just going to keep going, and I'm just going to keep getting up, and I'm going to keep doing my thing, and I'm going to be who I am. So no, just keep doing what you're doing, because you're making a difference.
And Jasmine, if you had one thing to say to the audience today, what would it be? What would you want to leave us with?
Oh, that is a good question. I hope that you've been inspired, and just take my motto on board. Genuinely, keep going, and you can't go wrong.
One foot in front of the other is often the best advice that we, you know, yeah. Especially with your race analogy, where you didn't do quite so well, but just kept going. And some days, that's what it's all about.
As long as they're in heels, I guess, Paul, just one step in front of the other, as long as they're
That's
in heels.
That's why she got lapped. She was doing it in heels. Well, you can, everybody, your Insta's going to get peppered, but Little Miss, or well, it's not Little Miss High Heels, it's Miss High Heels on Insta. Go check her out there. But if you've got a serious business concern, maybe go to LinkedIn and find Jasmine Bishop in brackets, Ivor Keels.
Ives Keeler
in brackets to find Jasmine and check out Equipmake and what they do is fantastic for the bus industry and giving zero emission options to existing vehicles, which is brilliant. And if you want more from the EV Cafe, because of course you always want more, there are wonderful people that we've already interviewed and that we will have interviewed by the time this is published. Do go out and check those out, and also check out all the information about our sponsors on the webpage and all of that good stuff. So do keep in touch, follow our LinkedIn page, and until next time, John, say goodbye.
Goodbye.
Jasmine, say goodbye.
Goodbye.
Have a great day, everybody. Take care.